Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, so what do the Browns need to consider? Would they consider a guy like Will Howard later on? Let's ask Andrew Brand all these things. He's a former Packers president. Also, the Sunday 7 newsletter, business and sports podcast. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Andrew, hello.
Hey, good to be with you guys. I now have a son in Cleveland, so I come there a fair amount, and good to be part of the crew now.
How long has he lived here now?
A couple months. He was working in college basketball, and he moved to the pros. So he works for the Cleveland Charge, the G League team of the Cavs. They play at that public hall. It's a great arena. I love it.
That is awesome to know. I did not know that. And now you'll have to have him text Lyman, because Lyman knows all the good spots to go to in downtown Cleveland. Andrew Brandt joining us on the show. This is excellent. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The Browns find themselves in a bit of a predicament here, Andrew, because, you know, it's like, hey, you need a quarterback. Your situation with your quarterback has gone belly up. I don't think anybody, including the Browns, anticipate him coming back. So if that were to be the way, what do you do when nobody's really head over heels in love with any of these prospects at quarterback?
Well, let me revise something you said, because we talked a lot over the 3 years about that quarterback that you mentioned. It depends how you define back. I mean, he will be back. Will he be back as an active player? Well, that remains to be seen. But as I've talked about so often in my expertise, he's uncuttable and untradeable. And that means they have mortgaged so much cap and so much cash towards that player that to release him or trade him, which is the same cap effect, would be prohibitive. Mm-hmm. That's just not happening. So, and they have to pay him. And I know people are going to come up with ideas like maybe they can't with the sexual assault or the injury or whatever it is, but they've been talking about that for 3 years. So the question is, what do you do with them? And I think by your comment, it sounds like the best idea that anyone has thought of is just tell them to go away and we'll pay you. But he will not be released from the roster. He's going to be a member of the Cleveland Browns, because cap and contract mandate that. So we can talk more about that. In terms of the future, yeah, I mean, there'll be someone else. Whether that someone else will be a draft pick, will be a veteran, will be a trade, you know, that's what the offseason is for.
Forgive me for a moment there, Andrew. I spoke rather quickly on that, because the latter of what you just said, it's like, well, he'll be a member of the Browns, but I don't anticipate him ever being on the field anytime soon for the Cleveland Browns. Let me ask you, though, about the insurance situation with them. Like, it's been publicized they took out an insurance policy against injury here.
Yeah.
How do they navigate those waters? Because I still don't know, and I can't even speculate on it, and I don't know how much you can say to it. Of, all right, the original injury happened on the field, then he re-aggravates it. Is it because of the original injury? Is that covered under the insurance? Is that in the insurance policy? What can they do about that insurance and expediting the situation as best they can with Deshaun Watson?
Well, let's first talk about NFI. A lot of people in Cleveland asking me about that. Non-football injuries. So if a player is hurt, not in the facility and or not doing what he's prescribed to be doing, then there's a chance for NFI, which means you put him on a non-football injury list. You don't have to pay him. You can pay him anywhere between zero and his scheduled salary. Of course, people are bringing that up because he had a second injury outside the facility. The question to me is, was he operating under the procedures outlined by his training staff? Obviously, the Browns allowed him to be away from the facility, so he wasn't in breach of anything there, maybe even encouraged him to be away from the facility. So I just don't, you know, that could be an uphill climb, and of course, lawyers and grievances, et cetera. as to insurance, I'm not privy to what the policy they may or may not have gotten on Watson's contract. But insurance is a tricky thing. You know, I did it a couple times on PTD, permanent total disability, where the premiums are very reasonable because the player has to be permanently total disabled. For TTD, temporary total disability, you can imagine the premiums are high because every player in the NFL is temporarily disabled at some point. So it would have to go into what were the exclusions. Was it the knee? Was it the whole body? Were there time limits? What about re-aggravation? And how much? So let's say under some scenario, they get back millions. I don't know. Something below $10 million. Okay. That helps a little bit. And the only credit would come with the cap when they actually receive the money and show the NFL they've received the money. And, you know, insurance payments take a long time if they are ever paid. So it's a long process with insurance. So I don't think any fans can sort of count on insurance for helping the Browns cap.
Andrew Brandt with us. One more note just on the salary cap stuff. There are people convinced in Northeast Ohio that because the Haslams are willing to spend money, the way that they have manipulated the contracts, the way that they have loaded them, the way that they have reworked a lot of these deals, there is the thought that it can be sustainable even if they take the massive cap hits with, like, Deshaun Watson, or if they went and got somebody in free agency or traded for another quarterback. You've done this for a living. Like, you've actually done this stuff. Do you agree?
I agree with part two. I agree with there's cap room to add a significant quarterback. I don't agree with part one. I haven't looked at the numbers. I think it's close to or over a nine-figure number in dead money if they moved on from Watson. I mean, they're not going to allocate 40% of their cap to dead money on Deshaun Watson. But the way they've managed the cap, and I'm a big fan and friend of Andrew Berry, they have pushed out a lot of money under the theory that cap now is better than cap later. They continue to sort of lead the league in cap room while continuing to push out money on Watson the past couple years. So they have flexibility, and that's for scenarios, I guess, like this. So I do believe they are not limited to build a team around the quarterback or add a new significant quarterback. But I don't believe they would take a hit on Watson this year.
Is there a downside to the way? Why wouldn't every NFL team be doing it this way then?
Well, you build up so much dead cap. And the latest restructure they did on Watson pushes out the pain even more into 27 and 28. And you want to have flexibility in the future. Yes, the cap does go up every year, but, geez, you don't want to hamstring your future that much.
Well, it does sound like eventually the bill is going to come due for Deshaun Watson. We can't just keep kicking this down the road.
I mean, you look at Russell Wilson. Again, they made the playoffs. But Russell Wilson counted $53 million on the Broncos cap this year, $30-something million on the Broncos cap next year, for a player that was playing for the Steelers. And he's the biggest cap charge on the Broncos this year, the biggest cap charge on the Broncos next year. So what you're doing is you're sort of mandating that you've got to perform with three-quarters of a deck against the rest of the league. Now, Denver had the rookie quarterback. That obviously helps. So they'll have to figure out ways.
So would it be in their best interest to draft a quarterback now and hopefully hit on that guy, and then he's under a rookie contract over the next 4 to 5 seasons?
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what's going on in Washington. I mean, that's the goal. You can't even renegotiate that contract for 3 years. So Washington has this incredible competitive advantage the next couple of years, as does Denver, as does Chicago, where they have starting players making roughly a few million dollars while their peers are making $50 million. And they can supplement the roster around them.
Andrew Brandt with us. I know you were taking in the national championship game yesterday. You had a lot of details on NIL and the culmination of the lawsuits that have all been filed and what its impact on NIL is. What is your big takeaway about what this world has been like with NIL and where it's going?
I think the overused phrase I'll continue to use up until now is Wild West. We have a system with no rules, essentially made by people like me, I apologize, lawyers, because lawyers went to courts and said, hey, these student-athletes can't do what other students can do. Now, other students aren't going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the point is not the money. Other students could start businesses, could go work pro, do ever what they want. So lawyers have won all these cases. So now we have a settlement, and the settlement should be final approval scheduled for April, and that will set up a couple things. One, back pay to players that didn't get NIL. Two, scholarship limits instead of roster limits. Rosters will come down, but scholarships will go up. And most importantly, a revenue cap. Based on Power Four conference revenues, it's going to be about $20 to $21 million. And what I've noted about Ohio State is everything I read about them was $20 million for the football team. This will be $20 million for the entire 20 something sports of the school. So theoretically, Ohio State football will need a salary cap manager to get them under the cap so they can afford basketball and all the other sports. But we'll see. As with everything, we'll see.
All right. That just means more jobs for people good at math. That makes me feel better. Andrew, we thank you very much for the time. Have a wonderful day. And if we ever bump into your son, we'll give him I'll give him your best, even though I'm sure you talked to him way more than I do, so that was awkward. Andrew, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Andrew Brand on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, like he doesn't talk to his own boy.